I'm not sure. Leslie, can you hear us, or is George with us?
Yeah,
Yeah.
we're both here.
Perfect.
How are you doing?
Wunderbar.
Did you hear what?
Guten Morgen.
Good morning. I didn't realize he speaks. Sehr gut, Georg. Man, did you hear what she's telling us?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's on the one hand frustrating, but on the other hand, there seems to be we seem to be moving in the right direction right now. It's the tide seems to be beginning, or it is turning, isn't it?
I think that the bad guys are so bold right now, and they are just taking such, they've come out of the shadows and they're just saying it. Yesterday, we had the announcement that the White House would dictate all of the social media parameters for any information with regard to vaccines, coronavirus, et cetera. So before this, it was difficult for attorneys such as myself to make the case that big tech was indeed, in fact, an arm of the government as we knew it was, and they kept trying to hide behind this private, screen saying, "Oh, we're just a private entity, and therefore we can invite into our home whoever we want to invite, and we can exclude from our home whoever we want to exclude." But yesterday, the White House dictated, and the Surgeon General issued a very detailed order on misinformation, the Biden administration's new favorite word. So, as these things become more overt, I believe it's easier for us to convince the public that they're just absolutely being screwed. And, we are being lied to in so many different ways. And there's this old saying that I use that is, I use it with juries all the time. Once the clock strikes 13, you must question 1 through 12. And at some point, the lies add up and the tide shifts. Another way that we say it in the United States is jumping the shark. It's something that is so outrageous that it doesn't add up, it doesn't make sense, and then every other thing becomes subject to questioning. And these guys are so bold at this point that the lies are going to get them, I hope. And that's what Leslie and I have been working on, is exposing some of these things through what we hope to be well-fashioned lawsuits.
So if I can just, I didn't hear everything that Virginie said, but it sounded like, I've been following what's happening in France, and there's so much going on with respect to people standing up finally. And it sounds like maybe you're going to try and organize that, if I understood it.
Yeah,
I didn't
exactly.
hear the whole thing, but I think that's interesting. And then if you look at what's even happening in the U.S., so, Idaho, where George and I both live, although at opposite ends of the state, they just announced a week ago, a little over a week ago, the hospitals did, that they are going to force their employees to be vaccinated by somewhere between September 1st and September 21st, I believe were the dates. And this is really important because Idaho is a very conservative state for the most part. There are a few pockets of very liberal areas, but for the most part, it's a conservative state. And a good chunk of the healthcare workers are very opposed to being forced to take the shot in order to retain their jobs. And so there was a press conference by the lieutenant governor yesterday morning, who is running for governor. And there are going to be several rallies this weekend and other days of all of these healthcare workers who are opposed. And there's huge pressure. The lieutenant governor spoke about how, what a violation of human rights any kind of forced medical treatment is. And my point is that you see these uprisings. Idaho's been fairly quiet, but now you've got the healthcare workers, the frontline workers who are actually rallying and protesting. And many of them are prepared to lose their jobs. They are not going to take it. And that's going to put the hospitals in a very, very interesting position if they lose, you know, 20 or 30% of their staff. So I'm not sure what the numbers are, but it's a big deal. And then circling back on what George said about the White House, this just in the last couple of days has come out as well, that they will, they are going to now intervene on your cell phone and censor your texts. If you text to your mother or your brother or your friend what they deem to be vaccine misinformation, they will block the text. Incredible. This is so intrusive and so absurd, right? That anybody can see it for what it really is.
But tyranny.
Let's call it what it is. It's tyranny, full-blown tyranny. Absolutely.
Well, it's the institution of the Chinese Communist Party's social, you know, credit system, right? Where they monitor everything you do, everything you spend. This is what's happening. And they want that globally. And they're instituting it here in the United States. And we're just watching it happen. And, you know, we're trying to bite around the edges and challenge, but it's so difficult to you know, there's so many things happening simultaneously, all of which are contrary to every precept of what America stood for during my entire life. I'm 63. And so the idea that, you know, we are self-governed, the idea that in our founding documents, which we hold so dear, that we are endowed with certain unalienable rights by our creator, whatever the creator is, endowed us with these unalienable rights. So that the idea is that the rights of the government come from the people to the government. But this has all been flipped on its head now. And what we're establishing is a technocratic, autocratic rule whereby the people who are considered to be too stupid to actually govern themselves are engaged in misinformation. Misinformation, the lab leak theory was misinformation. We all knew that Trump saying that he was being spied on by the Obama administration was misinformation. All of these things turn out not to be misinformation. So, you know, whoever, these things are great as long as you're the guy making the rules, right? So, you know, I can't believe that this court, this Supreme Court, would allow these things to happen. And that's why we're starting to challenge our, you know, we're here, I think, in part to talk about the lawsuit that we filed against the mask mandate. And this, the reason that we filed that suit is the same exact thing. We have a third level technocrat, an MD, at the Center for Disease Control and Prevention, issuing a national law that we hear every time we fly, and I've been flying a lot, and I have to listen to the lie that federal law requires me to wear a mask and that I can be punished under federal law if I don't. Well, if you look into it, there is no such federal law. And what they're referring to is an emergency order issued by a doctor whose job is to quarantine sick animals that might be entering the United States. This is the statute upon which they rely. So now, as opposed to the people being self-governed and the rights of the government coming from the rights of the people who got those from the creator, we now have some doctor telling us that we have to cover up our nose and mouth if we want to engage in the basic right to travel. So this is more than just a mask challenge. It's more than just a challenge to the mask. It's a challenge to the way that our entire system of government has been stood on its head. And this is what we're going to see more and more of if we don't push back on these things. We were told by many people, don't do the mask challenge because it will undermine the vaccine challenge. People told, the mask is just a minor inconvenience. Well, yeah, the mask is training us. The mask is turning us into sheep. The mask is allow, you know, is making us obedient. Every time I fly, I convince myself that I have had a lobotomy before I go. And I just tell myself, I am a cow. I am a cow. Because if I allow my brain to engage, I'm going to have major problems at the airport. And I will not get where I must go in order to do what I do. So I just moo a lot and I baa occasionally and I get in line and I do whatever they tell me. And they all think I'm a really just stupid old man because I have to, right? But I hate it. I absolutely hate it. I despise it with every fiber of my being. And so this lawsuit is one way to try to get the Supreme Court to look at this. And can a third level technocrat actually make a law that governs every single citizen of the United States? We hope not. Certainly, there's no precedent.
Let me jump in there, too. So for people, for our European viewers, in the United States, Congress makes laws. The executive branch is not allowed to make laws. And so this is one of our issues with it. And the idea that the president can just decide, well, I want to do something and then instruct a federal agency to do something contradicts everything about the way the U.S. was built and constructed, our Constitution and all of our norms. And so that's one of our big issues. And the thing is, I think we all have to understand, I've said this to many people, when they said, oh, you know, is the mask the hill you want to die on? Of course, it's not the hill I want to die on. But if people had stood up over a year ago, when the mask mandates were first implemented, we wouldn't be facing forced vaccination today. It's the thin end of the wedge. That's the problem. And these things, you know, we are on a slippery slope. Every single directive that we comply with gives power to the other side. Every person who doesn't want the shot and goes and gets it for convenience or to keep their job is giving power to the other side. And the truth is that at some point, I mean, we have thousands and thousands of people who have reached out to my nonprofit, Health Freedom Defense Fund. And I don't know if it was explained, but George and his law firm, Davalier Law Group, is our legal, George is our general counsel, and Davalier Law Group is our law firm with which we work. And every time somebody, you know, complies or goes along with this, they are giving power to tyrants who are trying to tell the world that you can't live normally, you must lock down, you must mask. And let's be honest, a mask isn't just a mask. I said this in the in an article that was quoted in the, it was run in the Epoch Times a couple of days ago, but you know, our face is the avatar that we present to the world. It is how we interact in our communities and in society at large. It's how our children and we discern whether or not someone is safe to interact with or dangerous, whether they're happy or angry, right? It is such an important thing. It's not a minor detail. And if we are faceless, we are nothing more than an animal. It is insane that people are going along with this. I just saw a data point out of Britain the other day that 40% of the people want masks to remain permanently.
That's probably a lie. Now,
it probably is a lie, Reiner, but I think there is a serious portion of people who do want to retain these and who are afraid. And my point is, they have been so comprehensively brainwashed into a place of terror by the fear porn that has been run 24/7 in the media for the last 18 months that they'll do anything at this point. They are literally sexless. And, you know, this mask lawsuit is a huge issue on so many ways. One, because of the legality of it, but two, because of the symbolism of it.
Mm-hmm. You know, the mask, what it does is it teaches every person that your fellow human is a vessel of lethal disease. And so if we want to, you know, in the old days when two armies were fighting with one another, it was divide and conquer. What the mask does is it atomizes the opposition. So we have the state wanting total control. The people would rise up. They would need to associate with one another. Virginie, what you're saying going on in France, just imagine if no one could associate, right? Mm-hmm. You couldn't organize. So if we teach people that you can't get very near a person, you must stay 6 feet away from a person, you cannot talk to a person, you can't get close to a person, then there's no opposition capable whatsoever, because they now believe that they cannot associate. And if you can't associate, you can't organize. This is the CIA's message behind this mask mandate. And this, it's an op. I mean, it's a psychological operation. And this is the psychological message behind it, is whatever you do, don't trust the fellow human. You might die.
Except in football, you're a master championship.
Yeah, exactly.
Different laws, completely different laws. It doesn't, yeah. It is not valid in when you play football.
Yeah. So,
sorry, interrupting.
Yeah, no, but that was it.
It's also not valid when politicians get on airplanes.
Absolutely.
I saw that.
Group of Democrats from Texas are opposing voter registration laws or some kind of, you know, voter laws.
Voter ID laws, yeah.
Voter ID laws. And so they got off. They fled the state, but they all got onto one plane, and then they sillily took selfies of themselves with, I don't know how many of them were, 20 some of them on this airplane, all unmasked.
With a case of beer.
Yeah, and so, you know, there are memes running all over on Telegram and elsewhere.
We have, you know, we have to make them comedy figures.
Oh my God.
They are crazy.
This is, yeah. I mean, these people are not just acting outrageously, they're also acting stupidly, but that's what I thought all along. Those puppets that they're using, most of them are really not much more advanced than an amoebe, I guess, brain-wise.
These are the useful idiots, you know? Yeah. They're the useful idiots. And the useful idiots are usually idiots.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they do these things and it comes out. And it does ridicule, Wolfgang, I agree with you, is a wonderful tool, you know? It's highlighting the hypocrisy of the other side.
How can we manage that we don't have the people voting for such idiots the next election?
Well, that you know, one of the things is to allow freedom of speech again and freedom of expression, and that makes it very, very difficult, because they control the media, they control big tech, they control Facebook, they control Google, they control the algorithms, they control all of these things.
Yeah.
It's very good that France is going to have a new television chain. I think this is a big victory, and I think we should try to find out how to get one in Germany, how to get one elsewhere.
We're working on that.
Well, we have one.
Yeah, we have one, actually. It'll come out soon.
But Leslie and George, can I ask you, why do you think they deem it necessary to really go for the private text messages? I mean, this smells of fear, don't you think?
Absolutely, Viviane. I think that there's no doubt that they are in fear, that we have the... Listen, I think it's... Look to FDA. FDA has not granted license to any of these shots yet. I thought it would happen before the end of June, and it hasn't happened. Why not? I think it hasn't happened because they are very afraid, because there's so much negative information, so many thousands of people have died, so many hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people have been injured, and they are not able to completely manage the narrative. And so they are struggling to do it in public, on the tech platforms, you know, on the public Facebook, Twitter, and things like this. They're trying, but human ingenuity is circumventing them with new TV channels and new video platforms like Brand YouTube and BitChute and all these things. So we're bypassing them, and we're doing it through Signal and through Telegram and these other things. And they know that they've got to stop us sharing. It's what George was talking about, keeping us divided. They've got to stop it. And so they're losing the battle on an individual basis, one-to-one. And so I think that you're right, that desperate people do desperate things. Mm-hmm. This is an act of desperation. But it's also terrifying, and it's something that we can use to wake people up, because those people, like in Britain, who say that they still want the masks, and the people, I mean, I saw a video, just a clip the other day, of someone who was like a street journalist going around talking to people who were wearing masks. And he asked them, so you're still wearing a mask and there's no mask requirement. Why are you doing that? Well, I just, you know, want to be safe and I want to keep other people safe. Well, are you vaccinated? Yeah, I got the shot. He's like, well, if you got the shot, then why are you wearing it? Well, I'm not really doing it for me. I'm doing it for others. But if you got the shot, doesn't it protect you and other people? And then he would encourage them to actually take off the mask. And the point is that these people, they literally have been mind controlled into this position where there's cognitive dissonance, right? There's a disconnect between what's logical and what they're actually doing. And so I think that these extreme intrusions into our life, these really egregious violations of the basic tenets of freedom, are something that are powerful enough to bypass that cognitive dissonance, that training that's in the brain. And we should be using them. And also humor is another great way. I think we just have to keep trying. And the thing is, what people are doing is resorting to texting. I mean, I have tons of group text chats, you know, that where people share information. And these people know that because they shut it down in public. So now people have gone private. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Vivian, I think it is an act of desperation. I think it's actually, it really shows how frightened they are. Yeah. And, you know, haven't there been protests in Ireland, France, yep. Britain, where else? Maybe Spain, just in the last week.
Greece, France, everywhere, except we don't see it because they don't show it, because the mainstream media are completely under control of these monsters.
So what we need to do is actually start giant text chains. I think as well, don't do this, right?
Yeah.
Like, what if we had? Maybe that's something that the Corona Committee should do, is create a text list. Mm-hmm. List of all people who want to be on there and text news items and things like that all over the world. What about that idea? They're shutting it down for a reason. That's because it's a thorn in their side.
Yeah.
Must be, because it's so outrageous. That must
let
be
me translate. Let me translate. Also, wir haben, das muss ich auch nochmal erklären, Leslie Manoukian ist eine frühere Investmentbankerin und eine Filmemacherin, die einen Dokumentarfilm gedreht hat vor 11 Jahren, The Greater Good, viele Preise für bekommen. Da geht es um die Impffolgen, also die Schäden durch Impfungen. Und sie hat jetzt eine NGO, kann man sagen. Yes, you can call that an NGO, right? Freedom Health Defense?
I would call it a non-profit.
Non-profit, that's a better word, because NGO
Much
is
better.
Not a good word
it's
anymore.
NGOs, a little bit.
Yeah, forget about NGOs. We got to get rid of these global NGOs.
They're
part of the problem, just like the global corporations owned by the same people. Also sie hat mit ihrer Non-Profit-Organisation Freedom Health Defense zusammen
Health
mit...
I'm sorry,
Health Freedom Defense. Okay, hat sie eine Klage eingereicht, eine tolle Klage, eine, die man auch handeln kann, die nicht 2000 Seiten lang ist, sondern 38 ungefähr. Und zwar mit Hilfe von George Wentz, den wir auch eben gehört haben. George Wentz ist nicht irgendeiner, sondern ist einer der erfahrensten und erfolgreichsten Anwälte in den USA. Viel Erfahrung auch damit, sich mit großen Unternehmen anzulegen. Er war maßgeblich beteiligt daran, dass Siemens vor ein paar Jahren mit ihrer Korruptionsnummer aufgeflogen ist, hier in Deutschland rollt man ja den solchen Verbrechern den roten Teppich aus. Und Sie sind beide auch der Meinung, genau wie vorher auch Virginie, die bösen Buben kommen jetzt einfach aus den Schatten raus, weil die anders nicht mehr weiterkommen können. Und das wiederum führt dazu, dass die Menschen wach werden, weil sie sehen, wie die Maske runterfällt. Gestern zum Beispiel ist eine neue Regel rausgekommen. Danach sollen alle sozialen Medien, jede Information auf sozialen Medien zensiert werden können, wenn sie nicht auf der Regierungslinie sind. Das heißt also, wenn ich eine E-Mail schreibe an meine Mutter, beispielsweise, Achtung, lass dich nicht impfen, Mama, das ist alles scheiße und gefährlich, dann kann es passieren, dass diese Meldung nicht rausgeht, weil sie zensiert wird. Und da sagt George, das ist eine Weile gut gegangen. Er kam mit dem Argument, oder er wäre mit dem Argument nicht durchgekommen, zu sagen, diese Privaten haben doch inzwischen öffentliche Aufgaben übernommen. Denn die haben sich ja immer damit verteidigt, dass sie gesagt haben, also Facebook und so weiter oder YouTube, wir sind doch nur Private. Wir können doch selber entscheiden, wer bei uns in unserem Haus also auf so einem Netzwerk unterwegs ist. Aber seit gestern gibt es eine sehr detaillierte Aufforderung des Präsidenten selbst, also der Regierung, dass jegliche Form von Missinformation, und das sind keine falschen Informationen, sondern einfach nur, das sind richtige Informationen, die aber nicht auf Regierungslinie sind, zensiert werden kann. So sagt George, jetzt ist es so, die haben einfach alle Masken fallen gelassen, sind so irre geworden, dass sie, das nennt sich Jumping the Shark, also wenn man was sieht, was total irrsinnig ist oder die Behauptung eines völligen Irrsinns hört, stammt aus einer alten Fernsehserie, Jumping the Shark, wasn't that from Happy Days?
It was.
Yeah, I think it was.
It was when Fonzie jumped over a shark while water skiing.
Yeah.
And it was supposed to make him super cool.
Yeah.
But it was actually so ridiculous that it ended that whole series. So that's where jumping the shark came from.
Yeah.
It's something that is just beyond the pale and just a bit too much.
Yeah. Also, dieser Begriff, jumping the shark, also man macht etwas, was einfach völliger Irrsinn ist, während derjenige, der es macht, aber glaubt, das ist alles noch im grünen Bereich. Und zwar kommt das aus einer alten Fernsehserie, die ich sehr geliebt habe, Happy Days. Und da war ein besonders cooler Mensch dabei, Fonzie heißt er. Der ist über so ein Sprungbrett beim Wasserski über ein Hai gesprungen. Und das war dann so viel, dass die so irrsinnig, dass das gleich die ganze Serie beendet hat, weil die Zuschauer das einfach nicht mehr mitgemacht haben. Vor einer Woche haben Leslie und George, die beide in Idaho leben, erfahren, dass die Krankenhäuser jetzt versuchen, die Mitarbeiter dazu zu zwingen, sich impfen zu lassen. Das ist sehr schwer, denn Idaho ist ein sehr konservativer Staat und viele Healthcare-Workers wollen dabei einfach nicht mitmachen. Außerdem ist der stellvertretende Gouverneur der Meinung, dass das hier eine schwere Verletzung der Human Rights ist. By the way, Leslie, is that Lieutenant Governor, is that the guy who was involved in this standoff in Nevada? Oh, that's another one. Okay. Jedenfalls.
It's actually a woman.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you sexist pig, you.
Okay. Very good.
yeah. The lieutenant governor is a woman and she is running, but the guy involved in the standoff, Ammon Bundy, is also running.
Okay.
Just not lieutenant governor.
But they both seem to be good people, huh?
They're very good people,
excellent.
Both of them.
You have two good people. We don't even have one.
Yes, in stark contrast to our governor, whose last name is Little, so we call him the Little Tyrant.
Okay. Just like they
also call him Chicken Little. Because he's afraid all the time. But now we actually have a third stalwart entering the race as well this week, Leslie. So we'll have three very good people running, and the idea is we're going to have to just get down to one. So anyway.
Okay, also die sagen jedenfalls, lieber kündigen wir, als dass wir dabei mitmachen in den Krankenhäusern. Das wird dann wohl zu großen Problemen führen, wenn dann 20-30% weniger Leute in den Krankenhäusern arbeiten werden. Also das ist schon eine harte Nummer, die gleichzeitig durch das Weiße Haus verkündet worden ist. Also alle Textmessages werden zensiert und blockiert werden können. George sagt, hier wird einfach das Programm der chinesisch-kommunistischen Partei umgesetzt, auch mit diesem Social Credit System. Das soll aber nicht nur in den USA, sondern global kommen. Das alles widerspricht allem, was George, der genauso alt ist wie ich, was George in der Schule gelernt hat, was er als in der Verfassung gelernt hat, die unveräußerlichen Rechte, die jeder Mensch hat, jeder Amerikaner auf jeden Fall hat, die werden hier plötzlich auf den Kopf gestellt. Eine technokratische, antidemokratische Nummer wird hier abgezogen. Die gehen davon aus, dass die Menschen schlicht zu dumm sind, überhaupt zu regieren. Also wird hier am laufenden Meter falsche Information verbreitet, um die Leute möglichst noch dümmer zu machen. George sagt, er glaubt nicht, dass der Supreme Court dabei mitmachen wird. Die Klage, die sie eingereicht haben, großes Teil, wie gesagt, gegen die Masken, die ist mehr als bloß eine Maskenklage. Das richtet sich gegen die Anordnung, eine scheinbar Regierungsanordnung, die aber gar keine ist, oder ein scheinbar nationales Gesetz, was gar keins ist, beim CDC, also bei den Centers of Disease Control in den USA, also und das Äquivalent zu unserem RKI, da gibt es einen drittrangigen Technokraten, der behauptet, dass Federal Law, also Bundesrecht, es erforderlich machen würde, dass jedermann Masken tragen muss. In Wahrheit stimmt das gar nicht, sondern es ist einfach eine Emergency Order, also so eine Anweisung, wir würden das als Verordnung bezeichnen, wobei solche Leute können gar keine Verordnung verabschieden, von einem Arzt, der eigentlich dafür da ist, kranke Tiere, die in das Land kommen, in Quarantäne zu packen. So ähnlich wie unser RKI-Gespenst ja auch eigentlich nur was mit kranken Tieren zu tun hat. Er sagt, dieser Angriff auf die Maske greift natürlich alles an. Das ist nur symbolisch, aber die Maske ist eben ein besonders wichtiges Symbol. Viele haben ihm abgeraten und Leslie davon abgeraten, die Maske anzugreifen, sondern besser gleich die Impfung anzugreifen. Aber er sagt, nein, diese Maske ist ein besonders wichtiges Symbol. Er muss sich immer extrem zusammenreißen, sagt George, wenn er fliegt viel, wenn er ins Flugzeug geht und dabei mitmacht. Denn wenn er darüber nachdenkt, würde, was das hier eigentlich bedeutet, dann würde er sich wohl nicht mehr zusammenreißen können. Entscheidend ist, dass anders als bei uns in Deutschland, wo tatsächlich in weiten Teilen über Verordnungen regiert werden kann, grundsätzlich in den USA nur der Kongress, also die Legislative, die gewählten Abgeordneten Gesetze verabschieden können, aber nicht die Exekutive. Und die Frage war nochmal, willst du wirklich wegen der Masken auf diesem Hügel sterben? Nein, das ist es ja gar nicht, sondern das ist nur, wenn man früher was gemacht hätte, wäre auch früher was passiert. Aber das ist jetzt eben der Punkt, wo man angreifen muss. Wir sind hier mitten in einer Tyrannei, sagte Leslie eben, und das ist wohl der Fall. Die Maske ist eben nicht bloß eine Maske, sondern sie ist unser Gesicht. Und unser Gesicht, also es versteckt unser Gesicht, das ist aber das wichtigste Kommunikationsmittel, was wir haben. Deswegen werden wir auch keine Zeugen mit Masken vernehmen. Das habe ich noch nie gemacht und das wird auch nicht passieren, sondern man muss erkennen können, die Regungen im Gesicht. Kinder können ihre Eltern nicht erkennen, wir haben das von Psychologen hier gehört, wenn sie eine Maske aufhaben oder einfach nur starr sind. Wir werden gesichtslos gemacht, sagt Leslie. Und nun gibt es wohl Erhebungen, die aus England kommen, wonach 40% der Engländer die Maske auch weiter behalten wollen. Wir sind zwar beide der Meinung, dass diese Zahl wahrscheinlich gefälscht ist, aber es gibt trotzdem wohl eine große Anzahl von Menschen, die schon so konditioniert sind durch diesen Fear-Porn, dass sie am liebsten die Maske auch weiter dann aufbehalten, wenn sie sogar geimpft sind, hat Leslie gesagt. Wobei man sich ja schon fragt, wo ist da die Logik der Impfung, aber das merken die auch nicht mehr. Jeder soll glauben, sagt George, durch diese Maske, dass jeder andere ein reiner Gefahrenherd ist, eine Virenschleuder, wie Martin uns immer erzählt. Deswegen müssen wir uns organisieren, dafür müssen die Masken runter und das organisieren geht nicht, wenn wir die Masken aufhaben. Das ist eine gigantische psychological operation, mit der wir es hier zu tun haben, die uns dazu bringen soll, zu glauben, dass man niemandem trauen kann, weil alle gefährlich sind. Gleichzeitig ist das natürlich, mal abgesehen davon, dass diese Klage jetzt auf einem sehr guten Weg ist, was die Gegenseite zeigt, ein Zeichen von großer Angst. Denn wenn man private Kommunikation zensieren will, dann heißt das schon, dass auf der anderen Seite verzweifelte Leute sind. Denn verzweifelte Leute machen eben verzweifelte Sachen. Diese Zensur wird natürlich durch die durch das menschliche Einfallsreichtum umgangen werden. Also es geht über andere Dienste wie zum Beispiel Signal und so weiter. Wir hatten gerade die Idee, ob wir nicht einfach über den Ausschuss so eine Textchain für die ganze Welt machen. Das müssen wir uns nochmal. Das ist eine coole Nummer. This is a great idea. This textchain idea is a great idea, Leslie. Whoa, so this was filed only 3 days ago, right?
The lawsuit, yes.
Yeah.
By the way, Reiner, I followed that very closely and you did a great job.
Thank you, George.
Wolfgang, möchte was sagen?
Yeah, Wolfgang? I think you're mute.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was listening to this things that the health stuff is going to be put under pressure, and that many of them thinking to quit their job. And we have the same in Germany. There are many care people that already quitted their job because they don't like to work under these conditions anymore. And as a politician who was working in the health field, I know there is a big, big tendency of monopolizing the structure of hospitals in Germany. And I think it's the same thing in other states. We have many, many small hospitals and many smaller hospitals, and who could be useful within their framework. But now we have the tendency, although there is a so-called pandemic and emergency, Germany closed 6,000 intensive care beds. They just closed them. They didn't need them. And I think what we experience now, that they make pressure to the health staff now to just get them out of the job, to have it easier to close hospitals and to monopolize. I think this is a trick to monopolize the health provider. And there is a good initiative. It's called Gemeingut in Bürgerinnenhand. So it means that the common goods, and the hospitals are one part of the common goods, like the water supply, like all the other things we need every day. And they wanted to have it in a democratically administered and they want to influence it themselves. They don't want to give it to big companies. They don't want to make it a field of shareholders, but they want to keep it in their own hold, in their own sphere. And they are protesting against this, closing hospitals everywhere. I think we could think a lot about changing the way that the hospitals work. It's not necessary that each hospital does the same things, and that some of them do only those things you can earn lots of money with. But I think it's very, very dangerous when we just give up the small hospitals. We could give them a new task, working together with the ambulance system very closely, and having the possibility to plan the things that in ambulance and in the clinical way, and mix and bringing it together, integrating the care for a region. But this would need a completely new planning of hospitals. And if I can continue in German, ich glaube, dass die Möglichkeit, dass jetzt derzeit versucht wird, die Krankenhauslandschaft zu monopolisieren, und dass deshalb Krankenhäuser geschlossen werden, und dass dieser Druck auf das Personal, sich impfen zu lassen, dazu beitragen soll, dass Personal in den Kliniken und in Gesundheitseinrichtungen zu minimieren. Die Leute gehen weg, sie machen nicht mehr mit, sie haben keine Lust mehr, da zu arbeiten. Und umso leichter wird es dann, diese Kliniken zu schließen. Lauterbach läuft schon seit Jahren rum, die Bertelsmann Stiftung läuft seit Jahren rum und will diesen Konzentrierungsprozess der Kliniken befürworten. Wir wissen ja, dass Lauterbach bei der Rhön AG im Aufsichtsrat war und dass Bertelsmann da war. Also wir wissen, dass da ein großes Interesse der Kapitalinvestoren geht, eine Monopolisierung des Klinikbereichs zu erreichen in Deutschland. Ich glaube, das ist auch in anderen Staaten der Fall. Ich weiß nicht, wie es in den USA ist, wo ja die Kliniken ohnehin private Organisationen sind. Und ich denke nur, dass man da auch dann zurückgreifen kann auf Menschen, die sich für die Erhaltung der Gesundheitsversorgung als Gemeingut, als Bereich der Gemeingut einzusetzen. Und ja, wir sollten einfach auch Partner suchen bei den Leuten, die jetzt diese Kliniken erhalten wollen. Ich halte es für sehr, sehr wichtig. Die Kliniken können andere Dinge tun. Sie können gebraucht werden, um integriert zu werden in eine regionale Versorgung. Sie müssen nicht alle hochspezialisierte Leistungen bringen, aber es gibt viele alte Menschen, zunehmend alte Menschen, die alleine zu Hause nicht mehr klarkommen, die vorübergehend dann mal auch eine Rund-um-die-Uhr-Pflege brauchen. Und das ist ja das Typische an einer Klinik, dass dort Rund-um-die-Uhr-Pflege professionell geliefert werden kann. Also wir müssen da neu denken, aber wir dürfen auf keinen Fall unser Personal einfach so entlassen und dürfen das nicht mit ansehen, wie die weggegrault werden, um diese ganze Landschaft zu monetarisieren und zu privatisieren und kaputt zu machen.
So this is, George, this is what Wolfgang is stressing right now. Here in Germany, most of the hospitals are public hospitals. They're owned and operated by the communities or by the state. And
well, by the churches.
Huh? By some of them are operated by churches, yes. I guess parochial hospitals, you might want to call them. But Wolfgang is afraid that what's currently happening, this push to get people to vaccinate, to get healthcare workers to vaccinate, which is driving them driving them out of their jobs, because many, just like in Idaho, many people are simply not going to go along with this. So they're not going to wait until they get fired, but they're going to go. They're just going to leave. So he's afraid that what's going to happen is that this is going to make it easier here in Germany, at least easier, for the state to close even more hospitals, so that eventually this whole thing is privatized, and then we're finally going to get rid of the doctors, et cetera, and we're going to have digitalized medicine. I know it's a little bit different in the United States because most of the hospitals there are privately owned anyway.
But that's may be privately owned, but the problem is centralization.
Right.
Yes.
That's the problem.
Yes.
They are. Yes. They may be privately owned, but they're owned by giant corporations.
Well, and they're also federalized and controlled by the FDA, the CDC, and so instead of
and insurance.
And absolutely all
and
of which.
And so, basically, to me, the real issue. The real solution here is to go back to community-run groups. Everything. The whole problem in our world today is that the few have too much power.
Yes.
Right. It's the centralization of power that is the problem. And those who are in power are right now doing everything they can to create dependency of the masses upon them. So whether it's healthcare, they want the dependency. Big pharma, they want the dependency. Digitalized currency, they want the dependency and the tracking, right? Every single effort that we see is the exact opposite of everything that was framed in the Constitution of the United States, which was to decentralize and diffuse power. There are thousands and thousands of counties in our country, right? And then there are 50 different states. This should give us so many different flavors of self-governance, as long as it's local and close to the people. But this is the problem. The elites cannot control that system. So over the course of ever since that was set up,
They have been trying to federalize it and federalize it and federalize it so that it's more and more concentrated. And that way, the elites, starting with J.P. Morgan way on back and all the big guys, right, they can control the politicians. And if you concentrate all that power into Washington, D.C., then that magic ring that has all the power can be easily obtained.
Sorry, and there's another really important piece of it. It's not just political, right? Mm-hmm. So I worked on Wall Street, as Reiner explained, and I remember back in the 80s and early 1990s when I was working in investments, and it was a really important question when someone, when two corporations announced a merger or a takeover, will the Federal Trade Commission approve it? And all these mega mergers were questioned. Is it legal? Does it violate antitrust laws that have been in place for, you know, 80 years at that point, 70 years at that point? And what's happened is, for the last 30 years, those antitrust laws have been repealed and overrun. And so now what we see is that all the media in the United States is held in the hands of six corporations. That used to be illegal. We used to have something called the Fairness Doctrine in America, which prohibited any company that owned one media asset in one market, say Chicago, from having one in an adjacent market. And you couldn't own newspapers everywhere. You couldn't own television stations everywhere. So there were all of these blocks to it. And so my point is that there's this huge, you've got the political consolidation, you've also got the corporate consolidation, and it is the marriage of the two of those that is facilitating the tyranny that we see today, in my opinion. If we got rid of...
I have to leave because I have a another call at the top of the hour that I have to get ready for and get up for. Pleasure to meet everyone. Thank you so much.
Thank you for your work. We'll be in touch, George.
Okay, Reiner. Great to see you all. Great to meet everyone. Thank you again.
Same here.
I just want to use this topic now again to remind you that there is an organization trying to find the best solution in healthcare or trying to observe it. The OECD is having indicators for the quality of healthcare and trying to establish health indicators. And it's always the Scandinavian countries, Finland and Sweden, who are the best in those ranking. And you survive the most, and if you have an heart attack, it's the best. The diabetes is, they live the longest when they have a diabetes, and so on. So it's all those countries who have a regionalized health system with regionalized budgets, and they do everything they do. The planning is regionalized, and they do it in a different way. And what the state does is only helping them to find the best solutions. Organizing best practice schemes and such things, but they have a capitated budget, and they, with this budget they can buy hospital, they can buy ambulance, whatever they do, and those systems who are close to the people, where the people themselves engage how they want to be cared for, they are the most successful in the worldwide in healthcare. So we have good arguments to go against this monopolization of health providers.
Yeah,
I think it's even more. I mean, we can't let someone else solve our problems, because the more power you give away, the more power someone else has to use that power against you, right? And so
it's a very well known principle of subsidiarity.
Yes. So from my perspective, the last thing I want is the state to be involved with basically anything. Yeah. I think the state should do one thing and one thing only, and that is to protect our rights. That's what it was established for. And I think we need to get back to that. Yeah. And I know that's probably very uncomfortable for some of the, I lived in London for 10 years and in Germany for almost one year. And I know that's, that's not a popular viewpoint over there. But I think that what we're seeing right now is the result of what's been going on for a very long time, which is that the state has been amassing power, And the state, in concert with corporations, is now using that against us to control us. Yeah. And so we have to be very careful that we never get back to that place again. We've got to reclaim our rights. And I think the way that we do that is by creating our own currencies locally, our own markets, our own food systems, everything. I mean, people won't know this, but General Dassault has bought the voice. Sorry, go ahead, Wolfgang.
Yeah, it's our work. It's our money. It's all paid from our money.
Yeah, exactly. Think about this. My taxpayer dollars went to funding Moderna's vaccine, and now it's being forced on people that don't want it. Yeah. How outrageous is that? Yeah. And so we've got to push back against this unbelievable, illegal, unethical, and inhumane power grab that exists today in the world. It's people have to rise up. And this is something I think is so important for all of our listeners. Those of us here involved in this, those of us fighting on the legal front, we can't do it alone. We don't have enough lawyers. We don't have enough people. We need each and every one of you who is listening to stand up and be counted. Yeah. Stand up and say no. Stand up and refuse. You have to, because we can't do it by ourselves. And every single person that stands up and says no empowers someone else to do the same thing. It is so important that you not think we've got it all in hand and everything's okay because Reiner and Wolfgang and everybody else and Viviana and, you know, that we're all fighting, Virginie in France, that we're all doing it. We need everyone to get involved because we can't do it without you and your numbers.
That's powerful. It's empowering. And I think it'll work because it's working already. That's why we see this outrageous behavior. And we don't have to, because it was, I'm not going to say it's a waste of time, but it took us a lot of time to argue and to understand that the PCR test doesn't do the trick, at least not according to, it's a great tool, of course. Kary Mullis, the inventor, he deserved the Nobel Prize, but it is not good for detecting infections. But that took us so long. In the meantime, however, there is no question that this is not about health. This is about genocide. This is about eugenics. And that's why we all have to stand up, because sooner or later, they're going to go after each and every one of us if we do not show them the red stop sign.
You got it. And we can't do it without the support of everyone.
Yeah.
We need people to show up. We need their bodies there. We need them to show up. We need them to donate to our causes. We need them to do anything and everything that they can. And we also need them to show what freedom looks like to their fellow humans, right? Mm-hmm. That's what
we need. Yeah. They have to see what some of them may have forgotten, at least those 40%, if it's 40% in Great Britain, who think masks forever is a good idea. They have to see what they have forgotten, that this is about humanity. It's about human activities. It's about song and dance and hugging and singing. That's what this is about. This is about life, and they're about death. They have nothing but death to offer.
Death and depression and isolation and, you know, it's so bleak.
Yeah. Oh, man. But on that note, I think we can go off into the weekend.
Yes.
Okay. That's a positive one,
okay, I think. Okay, Rainer, musst du gerade noch einmal übersetzen?
Ich muss noch schnell übersetzen, okay?
Ich muss weg.
Okay, alles klar.
I have another appointment, so I'm going to go. But I thank you all for all that you are doing. I'm so grateful for all of you and to be working together to try and change the course of history. Thank you so much.
It's great to be working with you guys. This is, I'm not going to say it's fun, but it's the best thing ever. It is fun.
It is fun also.
Yes, it is inspiring. And that's the one, there is a silver lining. I feel inspired to be able to help people to stand up in their own power, right? And push back against this evil. And I just want to say as well, we have many other lawsuits and legal actions in the works that are going to be very, very important and very powerful. So stay tuned.
Thank you, Leslie.
Thank you, everybody.
Tell the others if you're in the Zoom. I'm going to join later, but I have to finish. I have to write a brief still. That has to be filed by midnight. But I'll be there. Okay.
Tschüss.
Thank you. Tschüss. Also übersetzen wir noch mal schnell. Wolfgang hat gesagt, dass die Tatsache, dass hier viele Mitarbeiter des Gesundheitsbereichs gekündigt werden, das hat er, glaube ich, auch auf Deutsch gesagt, ich habe es aber vergessen, ob das auch wirklich so ist, wohl auch gezielt eingesetzt wird, um diese Krankenhäuser dann leichter schließen zu können. Denn wenn sie nicht mehr betrieben werden können, weil keine Leute da sind, dann ist das die beste Ausrede, um zu sagen, das schließen wir jetzt auch, können wir nicht mehr gebrauchen. Das sollten wir aber verhindern. Wir haben dann geguckt, wie ist es denn in den USA, weil hier bei uns in Deutschland sind ja die meisten Krankenhäuser noch immer in öffentlicher Hand. Es gibt immer weiter das Bestreben zu privatisieren. Das führt fast immer zu ganz schlimmen Ergebnissen. In den USA ist es sogar ähnlich, sagen beide. Es ist da weniger die Tatsache, dass das öffentliche Krankenhäuser sind, sondern es ist die Zentralisierung, dass alles aus Washington, große Corporations, alles aus Washington geregelt wird. Diese großen Corporations von zentraler Stelle jedenfalls geregelt werden. Im Übrigen werden sie überwacht, die Krankenhäuser von der FDA und der CDC. Also es ist schon eine Föderalisierung der Macht jedenfalls. Und die geht in alles rein. Es soll alles föderalisiert werden. Es soll alles zentralisiert werden. Und dagegen müssen wir kämpfen, einschließlich zum Beispiel die Währung. Es ist also nicht mehr nur politisch, sondern es ist inzwischen diese von uns schon oft angesprochene Private-Public Partnership, wo man sagen muss, die Superreichen, die Konzerne haben die Öffentlichkeit oder die öffentlichen Institutionen auch in den USA schon längst übernommen. Leslie hat noch erklärt, dass als sie noch Investmentbankerin war, es war ungefähr um dieselbe Zeit, als ich noch Banker war, dass da die Federal Trade Commission, die sich um, wie heißt Antitrust nochmal, Monopole kümmert, die verboten sind, dass die damals noch sehr viele Merger, sehr viele Verschmelzungen von Firmen verhindert haben, weil sie gesagt haben, das ist eine zu weitreichende Monopolisierung. Das wird alles unterlaufen zurzeit. Die meisten Gesetze werden gerade wieder aufgelöst, zurückgenommen. Inzwischen als Beispiel sagt sie, 6 große Corporations beherrschen sämtliche Medien. Und du, Wolfgang, hattest du eben auf Deutsch geredet oder auf Englisch, habe ich gar nicht mehr mitgekriegt. Du hast dich an der OECD orientiert und daran, dass in deren Rankings die Schweden und die Finnen, also die Skandinavier, aber die beiden insbesondere, immer am besten abschneiden, wenn es um die Gesundheitsfürsorge geht. Alle sind sich jedenfalls einig, weg mit der Globalisierung, wir müssen uns loslösen von den Global Corporations und den Global NGOs, denn wir wollen unsere Probleme selbst lösen. Wir wollen nicht, dass solche Monster wie die derzeit versuchen, das zu tun, uns beherrschen. Wir werden, Leslie hat es ganz deutlich gesagt, unsere eigenen Währungen brauchen, unsere eigenen Märkte kreieren müssen und auch unsere eigenen Food Supply Systems, also Ernährungsketten, Nahrungsmittelketten aufbauen. Ja, da sind wir am Ende der Geschichte.